Jerry with Jerry.
All right. Welcome to Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza. Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. It's one of the nation's largest, it is the nation's largest single source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands in the central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. Check out HearstRanch.com. So that's our lovely sponsor. And today's show is not about beef. However, it is about something equally, I don't know, rich and fulfilling, I guess. I have... That was a little, it's a bit of a stretch, but we'll get into that. My guest is Michael, what's your last name again?
Karnchenapricorn? Yes.
Is that good? Okay.
It's close.
And he just launched a new company called Skillshare.com. If you check out Skillshare, it is actually just started in New York City, but you're hoping to launch soon in San Francisco and elsewhere. And it's one of those things that could apply to any city. Correct?
Yeah, any city, any community.
So tell me a little bit about how it works and what it is.
Yeah, Skillshare is a really easy, simple concept. It's a marketplace that allows people to learn anything from anyone. So the idea is if you wanted to take a class on how to make Chinese dumplings from Kathy Irway, you could take that class all the way up to how to train for a marathon, how to program HTML5 for beginners. So the idea is to turn almost any community into a university.
So it's like the Etsy for classes.
Yes.
And I love the idea that anybody can be a teacher. Like there was something really inspiring about that. Like everybody has unique skills and, you know, you could charge whatever you want. And if people like that, go for it. It's all free and open.
Yeah. The idea was, if you think about, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening in the press and mainstream America about like the education crisis that's happening. But if you really think about, you know, the positive things about college, if you think, you know, NYU and Harvard and Stanford are great universities because of the prestige they have and the students that attend and the professors and the alumni that are great. And we would argue that the city of New York is actually the world's best university. And there just isn't an online platform to facilitate the people in that community to learn and teach from each other. And I think one of the biggest problems in our society is that people stop learning when they graduate from school, which I think is a very weird thing if you think about that. Colleges kind of turn into this institution where you go there, you have a, you know, great time for 4 years and you get this degree and you get a job, but there's just something that just kind of got lost through that whole process. And I think if we could reintroduce learning as a lifelong pursuit, something that's fun and interesting, something allows you to like pique your curiosity and, you know, explore new things, like we think we can make the world a little bit better.
Yeah, and like hone in on specific skills too, instead of, you know, a broad education is great as a background, but a lot of people start, you know, want to change careers, and I'm thinking right now of, you know, big culinary schools,
yeah,
which a lot of people go into, and I don't know, is it better to do that or apprentice in a restaurant and not be in debt, or
That's been a very touchy subject with Skillshare.
Oh, really?
I don't think, not like culinary schools or just colleges as general. It's more of, I think those schools and institutions are great. I mean, people learn a lot from them, but I just don't fundamentally believe
you have something against school.
I don't. I just
anti-establishment here.
No, I just don't think anything needs to be in the thousands of dollars. I think the college debt has exceeded the credit card debt in our country. There's just so many people that aren't getting jobs, and the unemployment rate for recent college grads are increasing. So you just take those trends, I just think that's just unfortunate, and I think you could use the internet to get people to learn from each other. So,
but don't I need a degree to get my job that I want? No? Does that mean anything?
I think you always need a degree. I think it's always good for signaling, but I don't know. It would be great for 5 years down the road if there's platforms like Skillshare and other things that can kind of accredit people, mm-hmm, other than just a college degree. So it'd be awesome if you have like your LinkedIn and you have your, you know, I fundamentally believe today that the new resume is not a resume, it's your presence online, especially, ooh, for the younger generation. So imagine you had your LinkedIn, your blog, your Twitter, or your Skillshare, which kind of shows like all the classes you've taken. All the
classes all the crap taught. That I read on Tumblr is part of my resume?
It could be.
Shoot. No, that's very interesting. When people, a lot of employers now Google prospective employees, and it's kind of like, yeah, you're seeing this whole background, which is in addition to all these bullet points, you know, that you.
Yeah. And I think if you really look at the bigger macro trends, I think the two institutions in their country that still need to be disrupted is education and healthcare. I think you will see a huge trend in a lot of companies, a lot of people trying to do disruptive things within the education industry. And we're just, you know, playing one small part.
Disrupting, that's an interesting word you mentioned.
Yeah, and also I think that the one that's kind of been disrupted for the past couple of years is food. I think food has kind of paved the way. It's a humongous industry that just needs to be flipped upside down. I think education is coming up next, and I think after that is healthcare.
Wait, are you talking about food education? Like
the the entire food industry. If you look at things like with what you're doing, documentaries like Food Inc., all the books that are coming out, you know, all the Michael Pollan stuff he writes about. I just think just educating people of like, there's one way you thought that it was supposed to get done, but here's the reality of it, and here's what you guys can do to make, you know, impact some change.
It's all about, there used to be this kind of like, you know, closed doors behind how industry, the food industry worked. And now, a lot of things, you know, Hearst Ranch, you know, a lot of people are now being a lot more transparent, and that's a good marketing hook too. But with all these investigative journals finding out about, you know, like Michael Pollan, about the scarier sides of large big agriculture, then that's when people realize, yeah, the closed door thing is not gonna stay closed for a while.
Yeah,
people are gonna have to learn on their own.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, if you take those bigger trends, you just take a very simple thing we're doing is just allowing people in their communities to co-learn from each other. So like the magical things that happen in college or high school, you like learn in a group setting around the same interesting things. Like, I mean, I just think you could just unlock that in the community.
You know, I went to college for creative writing, and a lot of our classes were just like workshops, which means you pass around your stories to everybody in your class and they give feedback.
Yeah.
When I moved to the city, I like joined a workshop that we met in a bar every Wednesday, and it was the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Except it was free. We just kind of organize it. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I really think more things like that can happen. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you think about on the internet, think about websites like Kickstarter, Airbnb. Like, I mean, Airbnb is a great example.
Airbnb?
Yeah, it's a great website.
Oh, I gotta check it out.
So basically, you go to the website and you can, rather than staying at like the Standard or another great hotel or any hotel, you could just go on Airbnb and people rent out their apartments.
Oh, yeah, I remember the site. Okay.
But the interesting thing behind Airbnb is like no one would have ever thought about putting their apartment up for rent on the internet and making money on the side. And when they introduced that concept, it got a lot of people to start thinking about like, wow, you know, let me take beautiful pictures of my room and my apartment, and you know, I'll get reviews for all the past, you know, for the people that even come, I'll show them around my neighborhood. Like, you know, Airbnb, what they did, and Kickstarter is very similar, is they kind of planted that seed in your head. And Kickstarter allowed any creative professional or individual or team or organization to essentially put an idea up and get funding for it. And if you think about Skillshare, I think it's very, very similar. It's like people aren't really walking down the street thinking about like, oh, what are all the interesting things I want to learn, or, you know, what can I teach?
Mm-hmm.
But when we started, you know, the initial feedback we got is a lot of people are starting to think about that. And hopefully they'll offer classes on interesting knowledge and skills that they can share with other people.
I love how diverse the classes are on Skillshare. Like you're teaching one on how to do a startup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm teaching one on food, dumplings, which is my favorite thing ever. And there's like a jewelry making, there's like crafts, there's just kind of like the art of the approach, there's like dating classes, you know, everything. It's so cool. And everybody is pretty specialized in their field, and they're selling. They're definitely selling out.
Yeah, that's like, that. Yeah, that was the.
With a new, like, you guys didn't, like, really even establish yourself. You just launched, and people were like, okay.
It was funny because 3 weeks ago, we were sitting in a room. We're like, man, is anyone going to use this? Uh-huh. Like, are people going to even come to our site? Are people going to buy tickets?
By the way, thank you so much for like stepping away from this crazy startup week be on the show. I'm sure that was crazy. So I know my class sold out in a day. That was
crazy. your class sold out in a couple of hours. It sold out on the first day.
Was my class the first class to sell out on Skillshare?
I don't remember, but we can say it was.
Okay, that's crazy. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, because I've done this before at, you know, culinary, cookware stores, Whole Foods Market. I've taught these things, and they have a lot of cooking classes. They fill the calendar with all these things. But I think that the modern, I don't know, I think that people my age, and I can definitely relate with this, I like going and seeing a calendar of all different topics of classes, not just food.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I mean, I think the question that stumps a lot of people is, you know, what do you want to learn? I mean, if you ask me that question right now, I couldn't really give you an answer because, I mean, we're all human beings and we're all curious. Yeah. I think the reason Skillshare is working so far is because it spans a very various topics, and you'll go to the site and just kind of browse around, or you'll get a link from a friend and you're like, this is really cool.
You might not even know what you want to learn.
Exactly.
But then
you might come across something like, this is really cool.
That's like what happens when I shop at Etsy. I didn't know that I wanted these knitted head gear.
I think there was a quote on Twitter that like sums it up perfectly. They said like Skillshare was a drug, a very addictive drug for curious people. It was like people that are just buying tickets for random things that they never would have thought they would have.
Isn't there something called like education addicts or something?
Maybe.
Like,
I don't know if that's, hopefully we could turn everyone into an addict.
I can't wait to see how the classes go. Has any happened yet, or is that all happening this week?
We had our first one last week.
Okay.
It was the one class on how to travel around the world before you're 65. So these two travelers from New York quit their jobs, saved a bunch of money, and just literally travel around the world for 6 months.
I think that's like the perfect first class for you guys. It's
that
like,
class sold out.
First of all, I left my job, and now I'm teaching a class about how to be a slacker and travel.
It was a good class. I didn't go to that one, but the feedback was just really positive.
Cool.
I mean, like if you're thinking about, I'm pretty sure a lot of people that went to class never thought about traveling around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And B, the ones that did show up probably all want to quit their jobs now. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the class was like $20 and all of it was donated to charity, some sustainable travel nonprofit. But if you're thinking about spending $5,000, $10,000, $25,000, like spending $25 to hear from two people that did it.
For 2 hours,
For 2 hours, such a small investment. I think they ended up raising $1,200 for the nonprofit.
Oh, that's great.
By the end of the class. It was really good.
So the class was $25 and then they filled it up and...
They filled it up and they partner with... I mean, they put a lot of work into it, so they're far in the extreme. They partner with another organization that matched whatever tickets they sold. So I think they sold like $600 worth of tickets and the other company matched it, so they ended up donating $1,200.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm very curious to see how Skillshare will do with food cooking classes, because
I think the three categories we wanted to focus on for the launch was technology startup, business, how to start, be an entrepreneurial, or be an entrepreneur. It's like food and dining was the second one, and the third one was kind of like the Etsy arts and crafts fashion area. But the food, almost all the food related classes have been selling out.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I guess people want to learn
how to
cook stuff.
People want to learn how to cook. And it was cheap. The teacher decides. I can't even tell you how cool and how excited I am about this, because I don't know. It's just, it seems like a new thing. I mean, before, culinary classes used to be only at schools, and it would be very, very expensive.
Yes, very, very expensive. I mean, we're talking thousands, right?
And it doesn't have to be like that at all.
It doesn't, because, I mean, I think a lot of people that are teachers and students just get, they look at Skillshare and they get so many different things out of it. I think one is, the most obvious one is it's a pure marketplace. So as a teacher, you can set your own price. So right. for example, your class sold out in the first couple hours. Maybe you're like, maybe I should do another one.
And maybe I could
charge
like,
more. Maybe I could charge more for the next one.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I mean, dumplings. It's a skill. It really is a skill. And I'm teaching some people that I don't have a degree in making dumplings. I just did it my whole life.
Yeah.
So it's a learned skill.
Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting too is like by the time, if we look at food, you know, what's happening within the food, you know, trends or technology today, by the time it actually hits a school, it's so outdated.
Right.
I mean, you could really say that for like a technology.
That's
like,
true.
Like you
yeah,
NYU,
you're screwed. Yeah.
Maybe like some school that teaches you like maybe mobile
like one software thing. Yeah.
By the time it gets approved and goes through the curriculum and gets into the school, it's so outdated.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
So the idea, it's like whatever's happening right now, you could teach a class on that and learn the skills that are really relevant and applicable to what you need to get done today versus down the road.
Wow. I would like to take a class in how to edit video.
Yeah, me too.
That changes all the time. I don't even know where to start. Let's take a quick break. Jack here has picked out a song, and we'll be right back.
Skills. Rank, point blank, we vital. Spit flows, rip shows, peak the recital.
Skills.
Nah, you feel it when we drop those hot beats. Stop foes, killing shit, we got those.
Skills.
Hits, the music that the street loves. Heat stuff is now repping this with deep love.
Skills.
Gangstar, dueling again, ruling again. Watch as we do it again. It's the true living with a youthful vengeance. And I'm a judge, laugh as your ass, give you a crucial sentence. You need at least 12 jewels to practice. You're too enthusiastic, male groupie bastard. Still trying to convince us some more. Pretending you're raw, that's what you need a minister for. Again, it's the law, got you up against the wall. We the gulliest, fuck it, then it's us against y'all. Mic skills, tight thrills like a Michael Jill. Like when he rifle the bill, it's how I stifle the ill. Slide off, kid, and let a grown man finesse it. We bold and impressive, that old eye manifest shit. Some new product from a known team. Niggas know me, and you can bet they know green. So here we go for your stereo, and you can tell that it's real when you hear me go
Skills.
Top rank, point blank, we vital. Spit flows, flip shows, peak the recital.
Skills.
Now, you feel it when we drop those hot beats. Stop phones, killing shit, we got.
Following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune into The Speakeasy every Wednesday at 3 p.m., where host Damon Bolte will discuss cocktails, spirits, wine, beer, tea, coffee, and all things in the liquid universe, with guests ranging from bartenders and brewers, alchemists and ambassadors, roasters and regulars, and every expert and enthusiast in between. Learn from some of the world's leading experts in mixology, bar history, distillation, and brewing about how we enjoy imbibing today. Again, that's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we've got Michael Prana something from Skillshare.com, who, by the way, so Michael graduated college and basically hit the ground running, starting up companies after company and working on other ones. But I just realized that he started this feast dinner a year or so ago, and that I made a lot of duck for, so that was fun.
Yeah, the feast was one of the first projects that I started with one of my friends called Jerry Chow. And the idea was, it was basically an event, because we wanted to go to the TED conference and we couldn't afford it, so we decided to do one in New York. So it was an event around gathering people that wanted to make the world a better place. So every year it was a conference, and then last year we decided to host like a real feast.
That was really cool. There was a lot of different people making feasts. My friend Mike Lee and so forth.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time organizing. I think around 200 to 300 people came to the dinner. It had everything from local chefs and produce and drinks. And
that was fun. It was definitely fun. So you're a huge foodie, basically.
Huge, yes.
Huge. Which is why food was one of the first things. Yeah. I love that. You were like, we're focusing on tech, food. Yeah. I was like, how does that... Okay. Do you have a food blog that you...
I don't have a food blog, but I take a lot of food pictures.
Okay.
I would say, I'm a huge foodie, so it was really fun and interesting to focused on that for our initial set of classes because we just reached out to a lot of people that we wanted to meet anyways and just asked them to teach a class that we would probably take anyways.
Nice.
So it was like a win-win-win all around.
What if I were to teach a class on how to make the best date meal ever?
Oh, I would definitely take that class.
Yeah? Okay.
So it'd be like a meal for two people?
Yeah. Meal, home cooked. Yeah. So what would you suggest? I mean, what would your dream date meal be on this menu?
Oh, man. So I don't know. I'm a huge foodie, but I'm not really good at cook.
Right. Hence going to Bauhaus every day, you said?
I'm the type of person that would probably order food and put it on a plate and make it look like I cooked it.
Okay. What would it be?
I would say for a date for two, I think something simple. Not too heavy. I don't know. Salad.
Salad?
That doesn't sound too fun, though.
That's a romantic day meal? Salad?
No. Maybe to start. I don't know. What would you suggest?
I don't know. I'm kind of creating a poll because I ask this to every guest on the show.
Oh, yeah. What would be a good date?
Yeah, your dream ideal meal.
Huh. I don't know. I would say, I would find out. Well, A, I would figure out what the girl liked.
Okay.
And then create a meal around that.
Okay, so it all depends on the person. Yeah. You're like, I'll eat anything, so it's all.
Yeah, if she said she eats anything, then I would be back to square one.
Okay.
If she likes certain dishes or certain places, I would just keep digging until I found something to work with, and then I would build a menu around that.
Okay. Is there anything that you're like really super good at making?
Not really. I would say just the basic stuff, which is a class I think I really want to take. Stuff that you can make in your kitchen.
What is basic?
I don't know. Spaghetti. Just quick stuff. I'm talking, you know, I'm just learning how to like cut vegetables and, you know.
Okay.
And like what seasonings to use and how to heat up. I mean, I'm very one-on-one. Like if I went to culinary school, I would be in the one-on-one class. Like the introduction to cooking.
Okay. I don't think you need to know how to cut in order to cook. You just kind of figure it out as you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe I should think about a class like that. We'll see. Coming up.
Yeah.
So the other food classes you have, one of them is a trip to Bauhaus or what, Eddie Huang's class. What's that all about?
Yeah. So I met Eddie because I used to go eat there every week. And then my friends finally introduced me to him. And then, you know, when we were launching Skillshare, I thought he'd be a great person to teach a class. I mean, the initial idea was, you know, maybe you could teach people how to make bowls. He's like, I can't, you know, because I cook all day. I don't want to, like, you know.
He said that? I can't teach you? Maybe it's a secret.
No, he was like, maybe it was a secret. And he said it in a nice way. He's like, I want to do something different because I'm cooking all day. And he decided to do a Chinatown tour. So he's going to start at Bauhaus, I think, or end at Bauhaus, one of the three. But he's going to take you to three Chinese restaurants that he likes a lot. Mm-hmm. Kind of give you a tour, order for you. Give you the history behind all the food you're ordering, what ingredients are in there, maybe even tell you how to make, you know, share how to make it
really quickly. Cool.
And then you're doing a wine pairing with that as well.
Cool.
So each place, you know.
So it's sort of a guide.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like a guide. I mean.
But with wine and Chinese food? That doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's Eddie. It's either that or Four Loko. But I don't think.
Chef.
He's a very untraditional chef. And I think, But I thought it was really interesting because, you know, just kind of redefining, like, what you think a classroom is, you know. Because he has so much knowledge about Chinese and Taiwanese food. I mean, and plus he has, like, a nice little following and people want to, you know, learn from him. Like, it doesn't have to be in a kitchen. It could be through a tour. It could be anywhere. And I think what he's doing is really interesting. So,
and looking forward to that class. And it doesn't have to be sponsored by a big institution of any sort.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that's something he'll probably do every 2 months or every 3 months just for fun, and we'll see, you know, where that evolves.
Do you have any other chefs that you're looking to kind of woo to host classes?
No, but there's another one that's interesting that's on Skillshare. There's like an underground dining club in New York. I think they call it like a part-time restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of doing, rather than a meal for two, they're doing like, how do you, you know, you could teach you how to do a meal for 12.
Mm.
So if you're thinking of hosting a dinner at your apartment or wherever, you know, they've done so many meals for big groups. They know how to reuse certain ingredients. They know how, you know, what to buy, where to get it, and how to keep it under a very reasonable budget. But if I had to, I would say, I mean, I'm not the foodie that goes at like the 5-star restaurants. I'm very like, I just like good food. And I think right now I love, I mean, this is top of mind because I went there this weekend, but I think the food at the Redhead is amazing.
The Redhead?
Well, if you've been there, it's really good. It's on 13th and 1st.
Okay.
And the chef is like, has this, she used, I think she's from New Orleans, so there's like a very New Orleans style to it. And, you know, their fried chicken and hamburger cheeseburger there is amazing. I don't know what she puts in it, but there's some type of seasoning or some way she cooks it. Maybe it's a stick of butter, because I think all dishes from New Orleans start with a stick of butter. It's good. I love to learn from her. I don't know, I love the meatball shop. Like, just, I think it'd just be fun to make meatballs.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, that'd be fun too. And these classes could be anywhere. Like, it could be in their kitchen if they wanted to.
Yeah,
and they just hold the class.
It could be in their kitchen. I think one of the interesting things that we haven't really tapped into yet is a lot of restaurants and bars in any city, they always have downtime. So,
right.
I don't know, Monday at 4 p.m., they could, or 5, whatever. Right. They could just teach a class if they wanted to.
And sometimes restaurants have like done classes or events where they would sell the tickets. But this is a place where people can browse through a whole list of things and sell the tickets through there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, get ready. I can see this happening.
Really, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, it's too early to tell. I think the support we got from the New York community has just been so tremendous, and everyone's been so supportive. So as long as, you know, we keep making, you know, and building a product for them and continue to make it better, I think, you know, good things will happen. And
I want to know how to build a product. I got to come to one of your classes sometimes.
I'm teaching a class on Wednesday.
Okay.
On that.
It's sold out though, right?
I released some more tickets.
Oh, good. So when did you start thinking about Skillshare, and how long did it take to bring it into life?
I've thought about Skillshare for a very, very long time. And bringing it to life, it's been a very long process.
I think you had to design the website. You had to get staff.
I mean, it's even the steps before that.
Do you have an office?
We have an office right behind Lasky.
You have an LLC.
Yes, we're incorporated in Delaware. But I mean, I would say it was years in the making to get to the point of actually launching it. I think in the early days, I didn't think I was ready. Mm-hmm. I wasn't confident in the idea. It was just kind of one of those things you just thought about all the time.
Wow.
And then, like, I mean, it's just such a long process. As any creative person will know, it's coming up the name, and then designing it, and then branding it, and then you, like, hate it, and then it sits there for a little bit, and you're I love it. You know, it's just, and then going from there, formulating the business idea, like, how it makes money. Is this something?
That's the bewildering part for me,
I think the longest part of the process was the personal commitment. It's like, is this something I want to work on for the next 5 to 10 years of my life? And I think that is what took the longest, is convincing myself that this was a great opportunity. This is something I could commit a very long time to, and then just pursuing it without stopping and getting distracted by like
other shit.
Tons of other ideas that just pop up all the time.
That's so true. You just have to like make a decision and to go for it. And
it's really hard. I think, you know, if you look at your life, you know, you go to high school. If you want, you go to college. And if you want, you go to grad school. And then when you're done, everything prior to that point was like 4 years sprint, you know, 4 years commitment to your commitments. Now you're like, okay, you're kind of paralyzed. And, you know, it's really hard to put a stake in the ground and be like, okay, that's what I'm working towards.
And we're all commitment phobes at that age. Yeah.
I think
in more ways than one.
I think everyone in New York is a commitment phobe for all things.
Because there's so many other things you could do.
Yeah, I remember I read this. I read this article that said people get married earlier in smaller towns because the pool is so much smaller. And then people don't get married in big cities because if you meet someone, let's say the first person you date when you're young, you're like, there's no way this person is perfect for me. Mm-hmm. Because you think about
the other fish
8 million
sea.
People that you could probably go date to, you know, to date. And yeah, that's very tangential.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
That's very tangential. It's nothing to do with this.
No, it's true. It's true. It's the same way. You have to make a relationship with your company and love it, really.
And it's hard to make that commitment. So, yeah. Answer your question. It was a long time in the making.
So congratulations on your marriage to Skillshare.
Yeah. Hopefully,
very happy for you guys.
Hopefully, it'll still be here in the next couple of years.
I think that it's gonna. I think it's tremendous, and I can't thank you enough for asking me to host a class.
Yeah,
I'll have to
thank,
do another.
Thank you for having me on the show today. It was a great experience.
Excellent. So really great to meet, and I'd like to thank Jack at everybody at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of 6 provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the 6 features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market. In 2010, EscapeMaker.com won an Emmy Award for their agritourism webisode, so this year they thought, why not bring agritourism and green getaway ideas right to you? Come to the Green Getaway's Local Food and Travel Expo on April 30th at One Hanson Place, home of the Brooklyn Flea and former Williamsburg Savings Bank. Presented by Amtrak, Zipcar, and I Love New York, the carbon-free event will be a day filled with food, prizes, workshops, and kids' activities. Over 50 getaway destinations, from counties to local farms and bed and breakfasts within a day's drive or train ride of New York City, will be exhibiting on the main floor and in the huge bank vault downstairs. See what's hot in sustainable travel and receive special show-only discounts. Grow NYC will be doing workshops on the green market, and Appalachian Mountain Club will offer workshops on adventure bicycling and hiking via mass transit. EscapeMaker.com will be giving away over 50 getaway prizes, ranging from zipline adventure passes to an overnight stay at Mohonk Mountain House. Travel greener, eat local. Come to the expo on April 30th. Get your tickets now at www.escapemaker.com. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.